Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. From Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the servants flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is the text. Yes, we sing with angels and archangels here, of course, every Sunday when we prepare for Holy Communion. Part of the preface is the Holy, 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 a hymn that was composed by God himself and premiered in the temple in the year 713 or so B.C., the year King Uzziah died. There, for the first time, this great hymn of praise was heard. And it was sung by seraphs, seraphim and cherubim, flying around him in the temple. And Isaiah must have had one of those situations like you and I have in a dream. You are standing at the Christ Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro, looking down on those pristine, beautiful, glistening beaches, and then you turn around and you're looking at your backyard. A sinner in the presence of God, it's impossible. It does not exist. His mind must have sprung back to Sunday school at that time. But Isaiah was completely terrified. Just like Isaiah, we too see God in his temple. In the temple of our own lives, we see his mighty acts of wonder, acts of salvation, of healing, of granting us peace at heart, of forgiving our sins, of cleansing our consciences of all guilt. See, at Holy Baptism, your guilt has been taken away and your sin atoned for. It's paid for. You owe nothing. You are okay. You belong in the temple of God. Who says so? God himself from his throne. Just like Isaiah, then we are cleansed, and just like Isaiah, we are sent to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. That must have been some sound. Voices unadulterated, unaffected, unspoiled by sin. The voices of angels, an angel choir, which is what we talk all the time about. An angel choir was singing. And Isaiah, an audience of one in the Holy of Holies. This is behind the curtain, the one day in which the priest goes in there to offer a sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. So holy was that place that no one but the high priest could go into it behind the curtain one day a year. And if anybody else would go in there, they would be dead. So, just to play it on the safe side, before the priest walked into the Holy of Holies behind the curtain, they tied a rope around his belly. So, should he collapse in there, they could fish him out without going in. That's respect, my friends. for the words of God. The sanctus at our altar to us might not sound just as beautiful as the choir or the angels, but in God's ears it is perfect, because God looks into the heart, not what comes out of the mouth. He sees the intent. He sees the adoration. He sees the humiliation. He sees the confession of sins. And that, in God's ears, is music. It's perfect music. That's what He wants of us. He doesn't want a show of greatness or pomp. He doesn't need splendor, because He has the corner on the market on splendor. He doesn't need riches or offerings or any other thing. He wants humble hearts. A broken heart, O Lord, You will not reject. And that is what You and I offer at God's altar when we sing the Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabbath. Heaven and earth are full of Your glory. And now with angels and archangels we sing. And so we continue singing. Week in, week out. Yes, it is true. The title of the sermon is true. Here we sing with angels. And isn't the word angel, messenger in Greek, angel, message, angeloi, messengers? Yes. So we are angels. We are sent by God into the world with the message, just like Isaiah. God said, whom shall I send? Isaiah said, send me, send me. He was ready. He couldn't wait to tell. And God warned him, you know, He said, God, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes, otherwise they might see and hear and be saved. Isaiah had a tough audience, not sweet people like you all are to be. And he still went, because the message was imperative. The message was the top. That is the only thing that counted. All the rest paled in comparison. God hears a sweet song emanating from our altar, just as He did in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple 3,000 years ago. Now in heaven, you and I are in yet for another surprise, when we will have the combined choirs of all the church triumphant and all the heavenly hosts, angels and archangels and powers and potentates and principalities and cherubim and seraphim. Imagine that. 10 types of angels that we will meet. One day, I just can't picture it, me coming up to an angel and asking, who are you? Say, I am a principality, and I can see myself just melting. But then, that's not true. In heaven, there will be no unanswered questions. There will be complete and thorough knowledge of everything. There will be no fear, and we will all be one body of Christ, worshiping the head. The issue of sin is what renders us totally useless, just a dead body in the body of Christ, a dead organ in the body of Christ, until Christ comes and regenerates us, renews us, cleanses us, and makes us alive. We are born in death. We are born dead. Martin Franzmann wrote a hymn, and he said, O Lord, O God of heaven and earth, your finger never wrote that life should be a death word, drift from futile birth, so from bad news to worse. From a death word, drift from futile birth. But he wants us to live in his light. And he wants us, each one of us, to be a hymn, a high doxology unto Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He wants each one of us to be a hymn of praise, of thanksgiving in God's hearing. A high doxology. In heaven, we will see the effect of sinlessness. A state that you and I simply cannot imagine here. We don't have the right neurons and the right capacity. We are not ready to understand this. So Isaiah thought that he was a dead man. His mind must have jumped back to the days of Sunday school. That must have popped up, that story, when God is on the mountain and it's shaking and it's smoking and fire is emanating from it. And God said, Moses, you come up and tell the 70 elders to assemble on the foot of the mountain, but let no one touch the mountain. If even an animal touches the mountain, it'll be dead. Isaiah must have thought of that. How can I, sinful, with unclean lips, coming from a people of unclean lips, bad news on top of bad news, be standing here in the temple of God and seeing him on his throne? His Sunday school mind must have kicked in. Things that he had learned from child on. The holy and the sinless and the sinful do not mix. It's kind of like water and fire, or light and darkness. Either you have one or the other. You cannot have both. And life and death situation here are mutually exclusive. The sinful cannot be and endure in the presence of the holy. So he is not being dramatic here. He's just being truthful. He was shaking in his boots. He must have thought about Adam and Eve. What happened to them when they did wrong in the face of God, in the light of God's commandment? You're out of here. So, guilt and sin are taken away, says the angel to Isaiah. You see, you didn't merit this. You did not work for this. It is the gift of God. And that's a tough thing for us to understand, because we always like to do something in exchange of something. There was a general in Syria called Haman. And he had a little slave girl from Israel. And Haman became leprous. And the girl said, if only you could see the prophet in Israel, Elijah. So Haman said, well, I give it a shot. I have nothing to lose. So he and his whole committee went down to Israel and they looked up Elijah. And he was pompously sitting in his carriage, expecting the prophet of God to come down to the road. Elijah never went, but Elijah sent his servant, probably the people that cleaned his house. He said, tell him to go and bathe in the river Jordan. And he was incensed. He wanted to offer great gifts to Elijah in exchange for the healing. He wanted to go through great exercises in exchange of the healing. But no, just to wash. And isn't our river back home much bigger than the Jordan? He was totally unpleased. But when he did, the leprosy left him. And sulking, he went back home healed by God. God's grace goes right over our neurons. We cannot understand it. So please accept it. It it is intended for you, no one else. Isaiah, in his beautiful chapter 53, says this: surely he took up our infirmities and carried away our sorrows. Not only does he forgive sin, but the sadness, the damage caused by sin, he heals too. He carries away the sorrows, and if the sorrows are carried away, I go free for the rest of my days. Yes, we are born with the original sin, and the original sin has two parts, guilt and corruption. We are guilty for offending God and causing the death of his son. That guilt is taken away at baptism. And at baptism, the Holy Spirit is given to us to take care of the second part of the original sin. That's corruption. It's kind of like Che Guevara used to say, si hay gobierno, yo soy contra. If there is government, I'll be against it. So if there is a commandment of God, I'm going to break it. That is our corruption. And the Holy Spirit gently talks to us. Follow God's ways and you will live. We have offended God. We are guilty, but that's all in the past now. The purifying fire of God interestingly comes to us through water. Fire and water are exclusive. It comes to us through the waters of baptism, but it is a fire that purifies us, that regenerates us, that gives us new life. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. What are we waiting for? Exactly. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.